It's Memorial Day weekend, and you guys are here. We got about a full house. I thought it was just going to be me and my wife and a couple other people maybe, but you made it. So God bless you for being here. I just want to take a second right now. Father, thank you for all those that paid the ultimate price. Thank you for their service. Thank you because what they did, we get to do this right here and continue to do it. Bless all of our military, Lord. Bless every one of them, Lord. Give direction where it is needed, Lord. We trust you ultimately. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 1, the main word in Proverbs is wisdom. That's what we learn. Wisdom talks about knowledge, but wisdom is skilled knowledge. And the skilled knowledge that you get, the wisdom that you get from God's word, is instruction for this life that we're living right now. It's always been good. It will always be good. And it doesn't matter what you do or where you go in life, this will be the ultimate word that will get you to the place that God has for you. That's ahead of you. We're just going to read a few verses right here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, or to discern the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Just stood a man up right here, William. He's just finished at least 12 years of school. I got a good feeling that he passed kindergarten if he went to that. But your learning doesn't stop now, William. Your learning, for a wise man, your learning will continue on. I love the scripture where Paul is imprisoned and he sends this message out. He said, I need somebody to bring my coat, and I need somebody to bring my books. And he said this, he said, and especially, it says that, it says, and especially my parchments. Amazing statement right there. Bring my coat, because it's cold. It was wintertime. Their prisons weren't like ours. They didn't have cable TV. They're hard. And in the wintertime, as winter was coming, he said, would somebody get my cloak and bring me my cloak? I'm going to need it in this prison. And he said, bring my books so that I can study, so I can continue learning. And he said, especially my parchments. I love that order. I love that. I wouldn't have given you that order. I'm just telling you. I said, get me my coat here first. But he said, he put it in a different order. He said, get me my coat, and then get me my books, but especially my parchments. Especially my parchments. In other words, if you don't get my books, and if you don't get my coat, at least get me something to write on. What was happening with him is God was giving him revelation. He said, I got to get this out. He deemed that more important than his own health. So always be learning. Always be willing to learn. It's an amazing thing. And I want to say this. It says to attain wise counsel. You'll go after wise counsel. I want to caution you guys about something. The resources that you have. You got to be very careful about resources in your life. I have particular men that speak into my life. And I'm telling you, particular men. When I left a denomination, some of you know my history. I left a denomination on my own accord. I was fourth generation in that, and I had a lot of people. I still love them. But when my dad died, I thought that every person was like my dad that was a minister. And I'm not trying to fault anybody. I'm just saying this. When I decided to leave that denomination, there was something that was cut. There was an invisible umbilical cord that I didn't realize. I didn't realize how sharp that knife was that cut that line. All of a sudden, people that I'd known all my life didn't speak to me. I'm not mad at anybody. And I had to go on this journey of looking for people to speak into my life. The Bible says, as though you have 10,000 guardians, you don't have many fathers. And the search for fathers. See, I had plenty of people that would give me their name, but would not father me. So you've got to have people that will speak into your lives, and that they are trusted, that they can tell you no. Maybe that's a good word right there. We all like people that'll tell us yes. You need some people in your life that can tell you no. You need some people in your life that can tell you you're not all that. You need people in your life that aren't just completely impressed with you. See, I did it, Dion. I don't know what it means, but I do it. It gets a response, though. It's not a magic wand. It's just a microphone. But you need people in your life. If you're going to grow in wisdom, you got to at least have other ways of looking at things. So I said I was going to caution you, and I'm going to caution you from a place of experience. I remember the news being a kind of a scary thing when I was a kid. And that was as I got older. When I was younger, if I ever saw news, I grew up in Anderson, South Carolina, and I remember seeing on the square, the town square, every now and again I'd be there, and I'd see the news camera, and guess what I would do? You know what I'd do. I'd try to get on the news. I'd try to at least, I was that annoying kid that the producers are like, pan away, pan away. Somebody get that Brad out of this. I'd do that. And I remember every now and again we had something in our church and it'd be a big enough event. They'd let the community know it was a good thing. It's one of my points. And I'd try to be the one that made it on the news. Okay? In those days, it seemed like a lot of the news was good news. In these days, it seems like most of the news is bad news. Most of it's bad. It's like the next bad. And it will if you're not careful, it will condition you to there's so much bad. What's the next bad thing that's going to happen? So since my son's working in the back, I'll give you a life experience. They went, don't judge us. They went to the movies yesterday. I didn't go. They went to the movies. And that's why I know that y'all can be loud in church. Y'all can give me an amen and out again because I heard that Top Gun people were responsive back out there. So I know that y'all aren't just glued tight if something moves you. So it's okay to give an amen. But they saw something in my son, his little cousin's in town. So Walker kind of went with him to see another movie. It's a younger movie, but you know the story with our daughter, how for 20 years, our middle daughter, how she grew in and out of the hospital. We never knew all her life. We never knew when it was going to hit. Well, my kids had to suffer some of that. It caused some anxiety inside of them. And my son was having a hard time yesterday because he didn't want to just be in an enclosed area. He didn't want to be even in that movie, and my wife started picking up on it. He didn't want to be there by his. That's heartbreaking. We didn't ask for that. And he said something. He told her, he's like, he's getting panicky. And he's like, well, Mom, I don't know if my phone's all the way charged. She's like, well, son, it's okay. We're just in the next room over. He goes, and this is what he said. He said, well, what if a shooter comes in and I need to text you or how to get out of this building? And she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. How many of you know that just took it to a whole other level? What did that happen? Has a shooting ever happened at my house? Has it ever happened in our neighborhood? But when I be careful in your homes how much we expose our kids to. They don't have to hear all that. I wish there was a greater balance. Maybe there needs to be some more good things happening. But anyway, so those last 5 minutes were completely free. So I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to skip down to verse 20. How about that? Is that a fair deal? Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Before I do that, I knew I was missing something. George, come here. Not yet, but you're going to. Come here, George. Don't y'all love and appreciate George? Come on, George. Stay on task. Come on. Come all the way up here. You're my buddy, George. George's a military man, career military man. It's perfect. That's perfect. So when your commander, and you were a commander, so when you call for attention, call it the way that they
say it for me, like you had soldiers in front of you, and you walk in the room, and you would say, I guess,
attention!
Spell that.
You can't.
Okay. But they all know what it means, right? Okay, I'm going to ask you, let's see if it's time for it yet. I'm going to ask you to come for attention, to come to attention. Okay, just do it for us. You come to attention.
You say it.
Attention. Now, I looked up the diagram, and I'm telling you, he's doing it right. Now just, and he'll hold it, and I want you to hold it until the command comes. And I know, okay, here comes the command, at ease. All right, that's awesome. That really is awesome. Have you ever heard this before? Chin up, chest out, shoulders back, stomach in. Do you know that I would have been a military man had it not been for that last line? I couldn't figure that. I still can't get stomach in. It hurts. That one hurts, George.
You have a cord under your arm and there's a sash around your throat.
Okay.
Pulls it up.
Okay. Have you got about 5 minutes of attention in you? You can hold the pose for 5 minutes. Can you do it? I'll read fast. 3 minutes. 2 minutes.
I'm going back. What,
you're going back. All right, one more time then. Okay, one more time. Give me attention. Attention. At ease. All right, thank you. Give him another big hand. Let that stay in your mind for a second. Haven't we all, you know, in the church world, we've all been told that we're part of the army of the living God, right? So when he walks into the room, sang a song a minute ago, when he walks to the room, that's us, a picture of us coming to attention, right? So anything that he says from that point will be considered a command, not a suggestion, a command, right? Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Consider yourself at attention right here. She cries out in the chief concourses. Concourses like at an airport, those long hallways. Imagine someone in a concourse on a bullhorn and everyone can hear them because of the acoustics in that building. You hear a baby crying in an airport from a long ways away. You can hear that little beep from that little golf cart. Somebody's trying to get through. You can hear it coming from a long ways away, right? That's how wisdom cries out. in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. And here comes the words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? That's translated to, how long, you naive people, how long will you love being naive, naivety? How long? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. This is the Old Testament. So this isn't in conflict with what I said a few minutes ago about the Spirit. This was the Old Testament. Do you realize that the Spirit used to fall on people? Read the story of Samson. We get an artist's rendition that is totally messed up of Samson. We get a picture of this guy Samson, big, looks like Ryan Morgan. Just a big, strong. Can I tell you that's not who Samson really was? Because, and the key to that is in the scripture where they asked Samson, where do you get your strength? You remember that? It says that. Samson, where do you get your strength? Well, if you look at Ryan, you just assume, well, it's from your muscles. Samson was probably just, at the very least, a very ordinary man. At least a very ordinary, just plain guy. But it says that the Spirit would come on him. Didn't it say that? And he would do mighty feats. And God, let me tell you, the Spirit is the same, but the way he comes is in a different way. He's already come down. Now he's come because Jesus died and went away. Jesus said, I must die, I must leave so that the Spirit can come. Live inside of me. That's where he's at. That's what's accessed to you. That's what you have access to. That's what is available to you at all times. So you don't have to look like anything but what's inside of you. Surely I will pour out my spirit. Here's the thing. Turn at my rebuke. Imagine being at attention and the word of rebuke comes to you because you're doing something wrong. The word of rebuke so it comes not to shame you. It's so that you'll move from wrong to right. Can you be corrected? What did I say a minute ago? You got to have people in your life that can rebuke you. I am thankful. Believe me, I promise you, I'm thankful for the rebukes in my life. Those rebukes were proof to me that somebody loved me. You might not be used to being loved like that, but I will make my words known to you. Now here comes the because. Because I have called you and you refused. Now things change. See it's real quick. If I rebuke you, my spirit will come to you. You'll know my words. It'll bring correction. Because I have called you and you refused. And see, it's not because God ignored you. It's because you ignored God. It's not like he told somebody else and left you out. It's because he called you. He said it to you, but you refused him. Because of that, I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. In other words, he kept trying. If you despise one rebuke, he'd say, that time I tried to talk to you, you didn't listen. According to what he's saying right here, I came and I came and I came. And every time I came, he says, doesn't that not say every rebuke? Is that not proven that he came more than once? You despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. There'll be a time you'll pay for it. And be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. That word is translated, the turning away, that's waywardness. Because of your waywardness. Because you won't get on my path. Because you see my path and you go away from it. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. For the turning away, the waywardness of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. We'll come back to that last in just a second. I want to take it all the way back to verse 6. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Does anybody like a good riddle? Anybody like puzzles? You like trying to make your brain work? What's that room that they've got, escape room? Has anybody ever been in one of those escape rooms? Pretty fun, aren't they? Pretty fun. I subbed this word out, enigma, to my mother-in-law. I know some of it, but I want you to tell them what you know about that word, enigma.
Well, the word means puzzling, mysterious, and the what most people think of that word is the Enigma machine, and it was actually started at the end of World War I, but it was perfected, and the Nazi Germany used it. This Enigma, which was an encryption device, and it was only about this big. And it had keys all over the top and three different levels. And those keys were able to transmit billions, that was the B, upon billions of different impulses that could be then, that's, and because of that, they could send top secret messages to their ships, to their submarines, to their commanders on the Eastern Front, the Western Front, wherever they were. And what happened is, when those keys were pushed, that electrical impulse went through there, and there was a little wheels in there, and the wheels turned round, and because it changed every single week, they could send whatever they wanted. And so it was not until the end of I think it was 1939 that Alan Turing, who was a British mathematician, brilliant man. He was able to break the code, which really, I believe, was really God helped him to break the code. And what that did, that helped the Allied armies be able to intercept where the ships were going, what was going to be happening. But that's what it means. It was a puzzle, and it was a huge puzzle. So this guy that invented it way back in the, like, 1918, I don't know where his brain was, but he invented something so amazing, and Satan used it for evil, to carry out his evil plans, because it was all hidden. It was secret. It was a puzzle, and it was mysterious, and that's where it gets its name. But that Enigma machine, when you look at it, you can't believe that all of that could do all of that. It was amazing.
That's my history buff mother-in-law right there. That little paperclip's been bothering me since I saw it, so there we go. The Enigma, that was an incredible thing to me. That it actually, if they pushed one of those buttons, it would send out three messages, right? Didn't it divide it into threes? So they had people working full time, I believe in England, to try to decode the Enigma. And when they finally got it, can you imagine what an advantage that was? All of a sudden, you really know what they're doing. All of a sudden, you know, the enemy's every move? Is it by chance that it sent out three messages? Let me tell you the wisdom of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, revealing back to you the enemy's plan. Because if it were an enemy that you had no hope of winning against, you would always be searching, always be frustrated for an answer. But because of it's God, and He has great wisdom for you, not only does He have it for you, according to this, screaming it out for you. The Bible says this in the New Testament, if anyone lacks wisdom, He said, let him ask of God and He'll give him a little bit, a little portion. It's not what it says at all. He said, if any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He will give them in abundance. He'll pour out. It's waiting. Such a valuable commodity. Now here's our problem. If we know that it's on every corner, we just kind of look at it like, I'll wait and get it when I need it. Men, how many of you have almost run out of gas or have run out of gas? How many of you have passed multiple gas stations? I've been so bad on the interstate. And that thing, I'm like in competition with it. I know I got another exit with you. And would pay any amount for one more gallon of gas when you run out. Trying to stretch a penny. Especially nowadays, right? So back to this thing of the command of attention. And then at ease. When I was just a little boy, I'm telling you, he's a goofy neighbor. He was ex-military. He wasn't like George at all. He was just goofy. And I don't know why my parents let us down there with that man. He's crazy. But he'd have us marching. And we'd have our little, we loved it because we was in camouflage, went to yard sales, got this army surplus, these tents that stunk. They smelled like mold. I thought I was full-blown soldier, though, I'm telling you. And he'd call us to attention, and we'd do all this. And that's when I could suck it in, and he'd say all those things. And I remembered as a boy, I knew two things that he said, attention and at ease. And I waited for that at ease because that attention, he was judging us. I mean, he's crazy. Like, just a kid after all. I'm just pretending. I'm not a real soldier. But when he let us go to at ease, we're like, whoo. Let me translate the last scripture for you. So it says all these things that will come, but it says, this is what you need. You need to hear my rebuke, and you need to do what I say. And if you take that, then this is the reward of that. But here, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear or evil. If there's ever been a time in my life when I need to hear that, it's right now, the day that I'm living in right now. I need to listen to Him so that I can dwell safely and I'll be secure without fear of evil, without fear of evil. I just want to tell you that that word secure is translated at ease. At ease. What an amazing place to be with God. When He needs your attention, He'll call for it. But there are other times that you can rest. That's the other word that it's translated to, rest, at ease. Look, as believers, we don't need to be sitting there, veins popping out in our head, and all the kids ask you for, can I have a snack, Dad? And you're like, Veins pop. You're too stressed. Kids don't need that. They need at ease. They need what you get from your father. My kids are old enough now, and I'm showing my grandson now. He comes into the house. He doesn't have to snap to attention. 3 years old. He goes right to his little place where all his toys are out, and they're all over the floor in a heartbeat. His grandmother's already vacuumed up the floor for him to get there so he can play on the floor and have all this time. And next thing you know, it's all open. You know why? He's at ease. He can negotiate that at his age. You need to be at ease in the Lord. You don't need to be stressed in the Lord. There's a place for you in Him. I'm trying to tell you this morning. I just want to get this point across to you. We don't have to come in here completely stressed out for the life that we have. When you get home this afternoon, you flip your news station on, there'll be enough to make your veins pop out in your head and in your neck. This long vein that comes out right here, and some of y'all, it gets curly right here. I've seen it. We don't need that. Come play, Chris. Ryan. There he is. Thank you, Ryan. It'll sap you. It'll sap you. It'll take your energy. It'll make you not accomplish what you needed to accomplish. You'll spend a whole day, and at the end of that day, it'll be wasted. That's not God's plan for you. God's got big plans for you. I believe that. But He's got a plan every day for you. Every day. And it's at a place. David said this morning, he came to me and he said, if we really believe it. We'll just convey that on to you right now. If you really believe what it says. If you really believe what the Word says about the God that we serve. Will you stand this morning? Dianya gave us an interaction time a minute ago. I want to close today's service, and I'm going to pray in just a second. But this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, says we have a treasure in these earthen vessels. That speaks to how fragile we are. That the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Yeah, we're hard pressed, but I want you to say these words, not crushed. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm not crushed. Tell them, you're not crushed. Tell them. They need to hear it. You're not crushed. What else does it say? We're perplexed, yeah, but not in despair. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you're not in despair. That's not who you are. Persecuted, yeah, but we're not forsaken. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you're not forsaken. You're far from being forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Finally, look at your neighbor and tell them, you're not destroyed. This isn't going to destroy you. See, you're laughing already. Sometimes you just need to hear it a different way. I'm not destroyed. This is not going to destroy me. This is not going to end me. This will not be the end of me. I'm going to come to a place where I'm always at God's attention when He calls me. But the rest of the time, I'm at ease in the Lord. I'm at ease in the Lord. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our commander, we thank you, God, that you love us enough that you will give us commands and we will hear you and we will obey. And when those times come, when we don't obey, we know that you love us enough to rebuke us, to turn us back so that we can come to a place where we're always looking back to our Father for the next instruction. Always looking back so that we could stay at a place of ease in you when this world is demanding so much. It's trying to crush us on every turn. But we're safe in you. You are our fortress. Will you tell him, I'm safe in you, Lord. Thank you for safety in you. You've got me. You've got my family. You've got our children. We're safe in you. And we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. The last command I was going to give you this morning was at ease. So there it is. At ease. God bless you.